This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. It's tax season, and we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now here's a good number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Well Played, presented by The Skim. I'm Caroline Hendershot.
And I'm Blake Morgan. We have a lot to cover today.
Oh, you did it.
I did it.
You went there.
I went there, but it's true. And we're also in a new studio today, in case you can't tell.
Looks
a little different.
Yeah, gorge though.
Very gorge.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time already.
Okay.
But what did we do last night, Caroline?
Tell people. Went to the WNBA draft. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Vagina,
it was a production.
Exciting. It was my first WNBA draft, which was very...
Mine too.
Yeah, very exciting. I've obviously been to like the NFL draft before, but this was my first WNBA. And it was just very... We saw a lot of stars.
We did. And we're not going to tell you who yet, because we're actually going to have a guest later, Aaliyah Finchell, to talk about it, because she's very into B-ball.
She was there.
She got to talk to people that we didn't get to talk to.
She was speaking to and interviewing players on the orange carpet.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to save all the gab later.
Yeah. But you were informing me that this past weekend you were watching some Summer House.
I mean, watching is a strong verb to use. I would say like listening.
Okay.
While it was playing on a screen in front of me, but I was looking at a smaller screen.
You know what I mean? It was, you got to have your screens.
Yes. Many screens. I was working and my roommate was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously, you've spoken to me about the show. The internet loves the show.
Love.
The one thing I did pick up on was just like, it is a goddamn good time to be a Bravo star.
Oh yeah.
For many reasons, but in particular, like the digs, that house they're staying in.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, this is no Jersey Shore.
No.
I mean, Jersey Shore is not Bravo.
It's not a Jersey Shore share house. It is like pristine Hamptons. Yeah.
That 4th of July party. I know. When can I get an invite?
I know.
Genuinely, like, how do they get people to come?
Yeah, I don't know who they invite to those parties, but I'm willing to volunteer as tribute.
Same. I've also never been to the Hamptons before.
Oh, you should change that.
I don't know. I don't know if I would fit in there.
But like, you don't have to fit in. You could just go for like a vibe check and then bounce
out. You're right. Anthropology, some may say.
Yeah. And then like you go, you explore, you come back.
And if they send me an invite, I would come regardless.
So. Right, of course.
Maybe that will be my trip.
Okay, perfect. You just go out there for one party. Well, I'm really happy to finally semi-welcome you.
I do plan to lock in
Please.
To the season.
There's so much to discuss.
So much work.
So many dynamics.
Downtime. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, can't wait to welcome you to the Summer House fandom as soon as you actually catch up.
Do y'all have a name? Like a cute little name?
I don't know. I don't do that stuff. But like...
Homies?
Oh, please.
Summer homies?
No, stop.
Summer housies?
You're doing too much.
Okay.
Way too much. Okay. Anyways, make sure to check out our full-length video of this and every episode on YouTube. Just search Well Played by The Skim. Or if you are a podcast guy or gal, make sure you're hitting that follow and like button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yes, please. Before we dive into today's topics, where can people follow you on Instagram? Because we also are going to drop a little what the WNBA draft is actually like video.
Yeah, Sean was so mean to me. He was bullying me via text message and DMs last night. Classic.
You didn't say why though.
Well, because I wasn't
he
live.
He wasn't just like bullying you for no reason.
He does that too. No, I'm just kidding. Because I wasn't live posting about the WNBA draft. Here's the thing, bad multitasker.
No. I'll Caroline is just someone who likes to live in the moment.
Kind of.
Girl, you gotta reframe it.
Yeah, okay, you're right. You're so right. I'm never wrong. It's Sean's fault. I was just soaking up the moment, living in the moment, attending my first WNBA draft, but I was filming. I just wasn't live posting. I'm not good at that. You know, I need like a second to collect my thoughts.
And I wasn't like quite live posting. I was
delayed live though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely clocked some interesting things, like how the sausage gets made.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I don't know if you didn't see my story. I was just like really fascinated by how they had to like put makeup on the bald guy's head.
Yeah.
Before he went on TV.
It was like, honestly, that to me was very eye opening of like the differences in our worlds. Cause like I'm so used to that like bald men specifically getting like setting powder put on their head because you get shiny otherwise.
They probably sweat.
Oh, big time.
I know.
And those lights are really warm. Mm-hmm. So, I was like so nonplussed by it and you were just like locked in.
I know. It was nice.
It was cute.
It was nice to have you as my spiritual guide. Thank you.
Of course. Anytime. Where can people follow you?
At BL AAA4KZ.
Nice. And make sure you're following this game.
Yes, please.
As always, we've prepared a roundup of our favorite stories dominating your feeds this week. It's time for Playing the Field.
So we began playing the field with probably the only time I will ever enthusiastically speak about the sport of golf. Sorry. That's it's fair. Just how it is.
No, it's fair.
You were watching the Masters.
Oh, I watched all day.
You were sad.
Yeah, I was sad.
And you cried.
Well, obviously, I cried literally the drop of a hat. It's not hard to make me cry.
We begin by saying, who won? His name is Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. He completed a career grand slam by defeating Justin Rose on the first hole of a sudden death playoff.
Yeah.
Sounds very dramatic.
It was very dramatic. So essentially, like, obviously you play multiple days in the tournament, right? And then the final day, it always comes down to the final day. So going into the final round, the final 18 holes, Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy were neck and neck. And this is kind of a repeat of last year's Open tournament where, again, they were neck and neck. And then Rory missed like two putts in the last few holes and Bryson won. And it was like this whole thing. Everyone was like, he can never close it out. He always chokes, blah, 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 blah. So tensions were high going into it. But the real reason why everyone was so happy for Rory is because he was like essentially crowned like the next Tiger Woods at a very young age. Oh. He won three of the four major tournaments in three years.
Damn.
Like it was back to back to back. He won the Open, the US Open, and then the Open is like the British Open, the US Open and the PGA Championship. So like he was ready to win the Masters.
He was locked and loaded, yeah.
And it took him 11 years from the last time he won a major till this past. Yeah.
Damn.
So it was the constant, everyone, every time the Masters came around was like, will Rory do it?
Will he, won't he?
Yeah, that whole thing. So it's like finally he got the monkey off his back. So that's why everyone was so happy for him. And I mean, you saw like the genuine relief that he had when he threw his club up in the air and he was just like dropped to his knees. He couldn't believe it. That he won.
Somebody did say he let out a primal scream, I heard.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear it on the broadcast.
Totally. And not for nothing. So they went into the day neck and neck, Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. And then Bryson kind of fell apart. And Justin Rose, who was playing actually in the group ahead of them, was playing out of his mind. So he kind of came from behind and like tied things up and Bryson just kind of fell off. So it was just very back and forth and very dramatic.
I have a theory as to why he fell off.
Oh, please.
Well, I'm sure you've seen, but I don't know if our listeners have seen this interview that he gave where I don't remember verbatim what he said, but tell me.
He said he didn't talk to me once.
Being Rory.
Yes, when Bryson was asked like, oh, what was like the vibes like or something like that, kind of.
Yeah.
What was the general feeling between you and Rory? And he was like, I don't know, he didn't talk to me once. And it's like, okay, drama queen, let's just for a moment understand that people prepare differently for different big moments in their life. And like he was in the zone, cry me a river.
It was giving like, he didn't want to play with me on the playground. You know what I mean? When your kid like gets upset.
I know Bryson DeChambeau has like gained a big following because of like his YouTube channel and him saying like, I'm more authentically myself now.
Happy for him.
He always feels disingenuous to me. Every single time I see him on camera, I'm like, that is giving fake vibes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Don't like him. Rubs me the wrong way.
Also, I loved how people in the comments of this video, like on ESPN, I saw on their Instagram, people were like, why is ESPN making it a story? And I'm like, hello, he's the one who said it. Like, he is the one who opened his mouth and tried to make a problem.
You know what you're doing. Yeah,
sit down.
Please. But I think part of the best thing, okay, so obviously at the Masters, no phones allowed, right?
Yeah, I liked that. I didn't know about that about her.
Yes, so no phones, no cameras. So like everyone in the final picture where Rory sinks the putt is like, locked in, no phones in sight, which is amazing. But I think the underrated part about no phones is that when you get into the Masters, a lot of people will just go straight to the 18th hole so that they can see people finish and they are there for the like final putt. But because there's no phones, no radios, no nothing, you have to wait until this giant scoreboard gets like physically, manually updated. So like they were following the rounds of like Rory gaining momentum and then Justin Rose gaining momentum. Like literally by someone just putting up a number into a board, like old school.
Damn.
And people were freaking out. So you would see him have a really great hole and then they would cut to the 18th green and people freaking out over seeing his score go in. So it was just like, I like that
analog experience. Yeah. I don't know if you've been watching any Coachella performances, but
no.
Listen, these kids with the phones.
Oh yeah.
It's freaky.
It's everywhere.
Because they show the live, they show like a wide shot of people watching like Megan Thee Stallion on stage. Phones everywhere.
Yeah.
They should ban phones at Coachella.
I mean, I just like don't really understand Coachella because
I forgot it's in the desert. That's probably not safe. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely not safe. Good point. But like, I don't really understand it. There's just a lot of belts going on, and then
that's what you don't understand about it.
I don't get the fashion. I don't. I might sound like a boomer, but I don't understand it.
It's really cute. My boyfriend for work has gone to Coachella, not this year, but he went the past 2 years, and he gets like the fancy VIP treatment because he goes to the musicians, and they just wear like bullshit, and love it's that. Like just a regular day for them, and it's just so funny to see them, these audio engineers, like juxtaposed with the influencers who go. That said, I would still go to Coachella,
of course.
I don't know though, but I also think that she's not that girl anymore.
If you're gonna invite me for free, I'm gonna go anywhere,
right?
Okay.
Anyway,
yes.
Back to golf.
At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner. However you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. Come and be a winner. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
This episode is brought to you by SelectQuote. Life insurance can have a huge impact on our family's future. With SelectQuote, getting covered with the right policy for you is simple and affordable. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents will tailor your experience to find a life insurance policy for your needs in as little as 15 minutes. And SelectQuote partners with carriers that provide policies for many conditions. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Go to selectquote.com/SpotifyPod today to get started.
So also something of note, Ken Griffey Jr. was there as a photographer, which is crazy because he's like this incredibly accomplished athlete. And then he's just like, oh, I'm going to pick up this hobby of photography.
Listen.
And I'm going to shoot one of the most prestigious events in golf.
I think that like Bill Belichick is somebody who should take notes.
Why?
Because like retirement plans.
Okay.
They do not need to get involved with women who are young enough to be your daughter or granddaughter, honestly, in his case.
Okay.
He could have just picked up a camera like Ken Griffey Jr.
Okay, you actually want to know why Ken Griffey Jr. Picked up a camera?
Why?
He said when he used to walk into his daughter's basketball games, people would mob him and be like, can we have your autograph, blah, 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 blah. And his daughter would like literally glare at him from on the court. And he said, I wanted to be able to watch their games, but I didn't know how to like do that on the low. And he realized that the photographers never get bothered by people. So he literally asked some friends of his like, hey, will you send me some equipment? And they were like, yeah, sent it to him. And they were like, essentially figure it out. And now he's like a really good photographer.
Aww.
Like his pictures were really good.
That's amazing. And I also like gaming the system in ways that I would not have thought.
I know.
Good for him.
Smart man. Smart man. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a couple fashion things for the girls.
So many fashion things. I was getting pissed about this.
I know. Okay, so this is like the whole problem that I have with golf, but I'm going to take a breath. So last year's Masters, Jason Day, one of the golfers, was asked to remove a vest that he was wearing because it read like Malbon Golf Championship in really big font.
Okay. Malbon is a company.
Yes. Not the city of Australia. So it was like kind of flashy, quote unquote, but it was just like,
it looked like anytime you would walk into like a cafe in the Lower East Side.
Totally.
Some guy would be wearing that.
Wasn't crazy.
It wasn't.
Like it had sequins all over it. I don't know. Call me insane. So anyway, they asked him to take it off because it just like didn't go. I don't even know if they gave like a genuine reason, but essentially they were like, it just wasn't fitting the vague dress code that they have.
Right.
And like the vague dress code is like traditional and up to date, like golf attire or something
oh
like that.
Oh my God.
So essentially, whatever. Whole thing. So this year he had to send all of his outfits to the Masters beforehand to get them like quote unquote approved.
What?
Yeah. So on Thursday's round, he was wearing a black hat, black pants, and this like printed collared shirt. He was originally going to wear a printed collared shirt with the same print as pants. And they said, you can wear one or the other, the pants or the top. You can't wear both.
Oh my God.
Once again, literally it's just a print. Are we okay?
It feels like it's giving kind of like Mean Girls, like no, where Regina George would have to like approve what you wear to go to school or something.
Completely.
Like on Wednesdays we wear pink.
Are we okay?
No.
And like people, my whole thing is that like golf and the governing bodies that be say they want to grow the sport. They want diversity. They want women. They want younger people to play. And then you try and look a little bit different, they freak out.
No.
Also, it's like you've never seen a woman's shoulders before because it's like, oh my God, you can't, how dare you?
Hide those exactly. Puppies.
They're like collar and cover your shoulders.
Well, okay, so this goes into another topic about, I guess is he an amateur golfer?
Yes.
I forget his name. I can't see my notes.
He's Jose Luis Ballester.
Okay, Jose Luis Ballester. He's an amateur golfer. He wore, because he's from Arizona or went
to
ASU.
He's a senior. He's a senior.
Yeah. So he was wearing a Sun Devil's hat, mm-hmm. but it said Sun Devil's upside down.
Yeah. So like that, it's just like the arc on the hat.
Yeah. It's literally just like a logo.
I've seen it a million times lately. I feel like it's a new trend. Everyone is kind of doing that with hats.
People lost their shit.
You would have thought he punched a baby in the face.
Truly.
Like he was number one on the most wanted list this weekend. I could not believe it. It was crazy to me. And like, you say, oh, we want the youth. And then you're like chastising him over a hat. You would have thought the hat said, fuck you on it. It literally said, Sun Devils, upside down. Oh my God, let's sue him. Literally, some of the tweets said, yes. I quote, one of the worst fits in Masters history.
I had the same exact note.
Another one, upside down riding hat at the Masters should send you straight to jail. Hashtag shrink the game.
What?
Not grow the game, shrink the game. Mm-hmm. Someone else called it egregious. And then someone else said that hat is disgusting.
Well, Jose, I thought that hat was so sexy. I think you should wear it again to the Masters next year. And I think I'm scared I'm going to get canceled by like people who love golf.
I also just think people need to relax.
He was also like, his outfit itself was the most basic outfit. Guys, why are we getting triggered over a hat?
Also, if you're not saying it about Jason Day, don't say it about Jose. Relax.
Yeah. Ooh, rhyme.
Ooh.
Okay, can we talk about one last little button that I think our listeners are going to hate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You brought this story up.
Oh, you betcha. Because this morning I saw during a news conference on Wednesday, Augusta National Golf Club chairman Fred Ridley said that he doesn't foresee them adding a women's tournament like the Masters to the docket for Augusta because it would just be too difficult.
He literally said it would be too difficult.
Mm-hmm. He said to have another tournament of any kind would be very difficult based on our season. The fact is essentially it's a winter and spring golf course. It's not open in the summer. It doesn't play the way we want it to in the fall for a major tournament, even though in COVID they had to delay Masters until the fall and it worked out perfectly fine. And he also said, this was what really got me. He said, we really have a limited period of time we could play any additional event. We close on the third week of May. Then you add the element of sort of the mystique and the magic. And, you know, we need to make sure that we really respect the mystique and the magic of the Masters. So we would have to think long and hard to have another golf tournament.
Baby boy, what mystique and magic are you fucking talking about?
I get it because it's like the prestige of the Masters. Like it's Wimbledon. You want it to have this kind of special feeling. I get that. Adding a woman's tournament would not take that away. Are you okay? The answer is no, he's not. He is old. Hate to say it. He's like 72.
He's 72.
Sorry, that's old. But so like he's got the old school mindset. So we need someone to come in, younger mindset, and open the door for
somebody
women.
Needs to steal his golf clubs.
Yeah, that's a good
you
one.
You know?
Yeah.
Hide
him.
The one thing I did think when I read that he said, it would just be too difficult. First of all, a woman, if a woman ever said that, jail. People would fucking
lose their mind. They'd burn her at the stake like truly. A witch.
And the other thing that came to mind was, well, this man, there's no way his wife is satisfied. Sure. In all areas of life, but in particular in the bedroom, right?
Blake always goes
Be. She can't be. It's too difficult. Well, it's like that from Holes, the movie.
Oh,
where
love it. Iconic
he's like,
reference.
She's like, I'm tired of digging, Grandpa. And he's like, well, I'll keep digging. Like, well, you know what?
I actually
make
have
it
to,
work.
I have to
make
correct it work. You. I have to correct you because that was you misquoted it. It's I'm tired of this, Grandpa. And then he goes, well, that's too damn bad. So yes, but yes, same sentiment.
Right.
Put a little bit of effort in. Too damn
Baby,
bad.
It's not that hard.
We don't care.
You're also just like hire someone to do it for you.
Also, cry about it. I don't care.
Sorry, I'm getting a little heated in the studio today.
Aren't we all?
Who okay. thought I would ever feel so passionately about golf?
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
See, more you know.
Yeah. The Masters.
Okay, shall we go into...
We should do a sniff test.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I know what you're thinking. What the hell are you talking about?
So this company, Littery, sent us candles. And one of them was Weekends on the Golf Course. It smells fresh cut grass.
Oh, this is so pleasant. I would say... Actually, it smells better than fresh cut grass. Oh,
the one that I am holding is called Sunset Surf. It's coconut water and bergamot flavor.
Oh,
bergamot? Some people say bergamot. But
give me that.
It's definitely giving coconut. I think I'm going to like yours better.
And this one is a U.S. Open themed The Honey Deuce. I drank about 20 of these last time I went to the U.S. Open.
Oh,
not an exaggeration. Wish I was.
I really like Weekends on the Golf Course.
Ooh, citrus and honeysuckle. Yeah, I'm smelling the honeysuckle. Which one's your fave?
My favorite is Weekends on the Golf Course.
Okay, love that. I think my favorite is Honey Deuce. All right, moving on from women in sports to a story about some women in space. Yes, you heard me correctly. Did you see the footage of Katy Perry, Gayle King landing back down on Earth after embarking on the first all-woman mission to go to space in over 60 years.
Okay, first of all, didn't realize it was 60 years since there was a first all-woman mission to space.
Yeah, because she was a solo mission 60 years ago. So that's why it was like quote-unquote all women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have no words. At least she was a real astronaut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, love the girls, love Gayle. But they're space tourists.
Yeah, totally.
And I should say that this mission was originally sent by Blue Origin. And it also included Lauren Sanchez, who is the fiance of Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos. This man owns everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, also wild to like send your fiance into space. Like,
right?
Get up there.
Oh, my God.
Okay, two things that I said. I was talking to Scott about this last night and I was like, wow, to be so bored and have done everything that you feel like you should go to space. What a life to live. Okay. And then he said, I want to go to space. And I said, no, you don't.
I said,
we have a deal. You have to die after me. And you are not doing anything dangerous because I'm not allowed to live without you. And you cannot die first. So, it's
that was very endearing.
We're not going to sign a prenup. We're going to sign a contract that he agrees to die after me.
Okay.
Obviously, logical things. And then I did hear that Katy Perry saying, what a wonderful world to the women on their descent back down to Earth. I'm sorry. If I was hurtling back down to Earth at
and I heard Katy singing that, I'd be like, shut the fuck up, Katy.
I'd be like, that was not the time, Katy. I would freak out.
It was giving like the Imagine video from COVID times where all the celebrities are like, imagine there. Like cringe fest, girl.
Yes.
She was also like promoting her new... I don't even know if she has an album or a tour coming out. It's one or the other. So I understand where her mindset was. She's like, how can I become relevant again?
Anything for the PR.
You know, I just wish that she would just do a first album tour because I would go to that. That was like one of the few albums I was able to.
California Girls.
Yes.
Bring that shit
back. It was one of the few albums I was able to download on my iPod for Sleepaway Camp because obviously they didn't have Spotify at the time. So I could only pick a couple albums. Mm-hmm. I know that thing back to front.
Yeah,
she should just bring that back. Whatever.
I agree. Okay. And then, I just thought it was crazy and hilarious because there were faces.
Gayle King, when she rang the bell, she was like, why did I do that?
Yeah. And like also, did they train for that? Because I know that they like went into the stratosphere, so it wasn't like full space where like it really messes with your body, but like shouldn't you have to like train for that?
You should,
because it like messes with your
you bones? Should have to do a lot of things before you get to go to space, and yet here
correct.
We are
correct. Okay, for our final playing the field story, in case you missed it this week,
LeBron James, got his very own official Ken doll by Mattel. James became the first athlete to get his own signature Ken, which includes a blue number 23 LJ Letterman jacket and custom sneakers. And the doll retails for $75. It's part of their little Kembassador campaign.
Love that, I guess.
Men need dolls too.
Right. Well, that was what I was going to say is like, you know that the little girls aren't like kicking and screaming, banging down Mattel's door to get their hands on a LeBron James doll.
Totally.
We know who's doing it.
It's the adult men.
It is the adult men. And you know what? We don't have a problem with that.
No.
I just wish that men would be okay.
Just own up to it.
Own up to liking, you know, wanting a doll. That's fine. Some of y'all are a little scared of that.
You're a big LeBron James fan. You want the collector's item? Just say it. Say it with your chest. God damn it.
Say it with your chest. I did see that they sold out within minutes.
Oh, seconds. On, like, Mattel. Like,
it was
insane. Apparently.
I was like on Reddit last night and people were like, I was waiting online for 3 minutes and they sold out.
Yeah,
like,
someone next to me at work was like, I want that doll for my future child because they're like from Ohio. So I got that. Okay. But I was just like, wow, that would never like cross my mind to be like, right? I want that doll for my future
child. Concert tickets, sure. I'll set a reminder, but for the LeBron James doll drop, not sure.
Yeah, it wasn't on my alert yesterday. Can't say.
Not on the radar. Say it was.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us to face each threat head on. We've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Did you hear the new Mega Millions jackpots are going to be higher than ever?
How high?
Like really high.
As high as the top of this helipad?
Higher!
This hot air balloon is high enough, right?
Higher!
As high as this 14,000-foot mountain peak?
Still higher!
Okay, we're in space. How much higher can the Mega Millions jackpot get?
There's really no telling.
The bigger, better, new Mega Millions.
Millions!
Play today. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
All right, y'all. We are finally joined in studio with our guest, Aaliyah Finchell. She's a content creator and sports reporter with her finger on the pulse of the WNBA, also the NBA, and kind of just like sports in general. Yeah. What is up, Aaliyah?
Oh my gosh, it's been a crazy 24 hours, but I'm happy to be sitting down here with you guys to debrief everything.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us bright and early because we know you were booked and busy last night.
You were.
Yes. You were on the orange carpet. like, take us a little bit through your day because, what time did you start getting ready, the whole process?
I did see you went to the Empire State Building
thing. Oh my gosh, very early.
My day yesterday started at, I mean, like, I'm a full glam type of girl, so I don't just, like, roll out of bed.
No,
so
me either.
So I woke up at, like, 6:15 to get ready to make sure I would be at the Empire State Building on time because they get those draftees, like, they're bright and early.
Yeah.
Like, they all looked so tired.
They all looked so tired.
I felt bad for them, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. Always, like, a good tradition. And then I went home, took all my makeup off, and, like, re-got ready for the orange carpet.
Yep.
I was able to do interviews on the orange carpet, but I also had a very interesting piece of content that we can get into with Paige that I also had to film.
Okay.
So, basically, I worked with DoorDash, and they gave me her order from the night of the championship game. She placed an order on DoorDash.
Amazing.
It's like $700. And so we did a fun piece of content because she's a huge DoorDash fan. And so like that was just a really cool way to show how brand activations come to life with like a content creator and an athlete. So I thought that was like a really cool piece of content.
What was her order?
It was like 100 boneless wings. I know people are like making fun of her that it was boneless.
That's hilarious.
And like 12 sides of like the veggies or whatever. It was
okay. Crazy. Balance. Oh, it's all about balance. Yeah.
So, but that was like a really fun piece of content. And then I just covered the whole draft, like behind the scenes of everything. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite interview on the orange carpet?
Ooh, I like Kiki Iriefen a lot.
Her fit was.
Yeah, that dress.
Yeah.
Her mom was like right behind us when she was, she didn't even get drafted yet.
No, she was like interviewing.
Yeah.
Or she was on like the pregame show of ESPN.
And she was like filming her and she's like, that's my baby. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like that's my baby. She looks so cute. She's beautiful. Boys love it.
She's amazing. So she was definitely my favorite. I mean, the Paige one was amazing, but I also did some content with the current UConn players. So
They're all there.
KK Arnold, I had them blind rank Paige's memes. Like, cause Paige is a very memeable person.
Yes,
like the 100%. Internet loves to take everything she says and run with it.
Yep.
So, Yeah, I had them blind rank her viral meme.
That's incredible.
I have that to edit today.
That's so funny. That's incredible.
You did mention before we started taping that you have been to the WNBA draft, I guess, for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And you said it's changed a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my first draft was in 2023. And it wasn't open to fans. So there's no fans there. And obviously across socials, like, there's definitely some interest. But, I mean, the last 2 years have just taken off. But I think something that gets lost on people is obviously Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers have had massive eyes on the WNBA, but there was a demand for it like for years before they came. And even in 2023, there are people saying, why isn't this open to fans? Like, please have fans here. Please give us more coverage. So, but just seeing the growth over the last few years has been insane, and it's just going to keep on growing.
Yeah, I feel like that's the most exciting part is like, it's not even the tip of the iceberg. Like, there's so much more to get into and to, like, just promote. And I feel like half the people didn't even know, like, WNBA draft was last night. Yeah. And it's like, no, we got to make it more publicized, more known, bigger events. So, yeah, it was really great last night. So, okay, obviously, Paige Beckers, number one overall. Everyone kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yes.
What did you think of, first of all, she had two fits. She had one on the orange carpet, and then she changed before she got called up on stage. What did you think of the fits?
Yeah, so, I mean, the two fits was crazy.
Loved it.
I love her stylist. Like, I just know, like, she was going to have something up her sleeve because it was going to, like, be hard for Paige to top her outfit from last year.
Totally.
Like, she came dressed as if it were her draft. She kind of looked like LeBron on draft day.
Totally, totally, the white suit. Yeah.
So the thing about that, it's like she knew she had to, like, one-up herself somehow, and which is hard to do. So the outfit change was really, really cool because I think a lot of the players, a few of them had brand deals with Coach for the orange carpet because they're now a sponsor of the league. So the first outfit, she was repping some Coach, and then the second outfit was, like, I felt like just a really good one to get drafted and go to the stage in.
Totally.
It's more timeless. Mm-hmm. And I mean, both outfits were amazing.
I did see the bag that she was carrying on the orange carpet, and I was like,
I missed it.
I know it's like a statement piece. It was like a little bit of a bigger bag. And I was like, see, I get that. Girl can't leave her house without a big bag. That's me to my core.
Exactly. So, and then with her in Dallas, I mean, a lot of people were kind of nervous because it's like, okay, like, it's the worst teams that always get the best picks. Mm-hmm. But Dallas had a really big off season. They they acquired some really great players. Dejanay Carrington, one of my favorites. So they had a really good off season and free agency. And then I feel like she's going to a team that looks a lot different than last season.
Right.
So, which is good.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk more about fits and just like who we saw. Because, I mean, we had, first of all, I also want to point out that I unfortunately have some beef with a certain mascot.
Oh, yeah. This is insane.
That happens to be Miss Lightning.
Oh, okay. From Dallas. I thought you were going to say my bestie, Ellie. So I got nervous. No. I was like, what'd she do?
In this house, we stand for Ellie, ride or die. I would ride at dawn for her.
She would.
But I just want to say, like, I did give the Lightning person, no, sorry, she's a horse, gave her a high five because I felt forced to. But she just can't do what my girl Ellie does.
Yeah.
No.
The ponytail was looking a little tacky. I can't lie.
I didn't see her, or else I probably would have given her the side eye. Ellie's my best friend, so.
I know. I saw Ellie. She was kind of like rocking. She was seated in the media section, which I found very funny. Like, she was just kind of like taking a break by herself, and she was like dancing in her seat.
Yeah, she was vibing the whole time.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Also, we saw, we saw Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
He was literally right behind me. Caroline squeezes my arm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Like, I was like, okay, the guy in the Canadian tuxedo. I was about to compliment his outfit because I was like, oh, you look sick.
That's so funny.
Also, like, today I'm in a Canadian tuxedo.
In honor of him.
Yes,
homage. Of course. Yeah, no, there was a moment where I was like, Blake, I'm going to kill you because you can't take this subtle clue of me squeezing your arm being like, there's so someone important here. And she was like, what? So Westbrook was like walking by us, and I was like,
it's just like a name that I hear, but I could not put a face.
It's so weird seeing them in real life, but he actually styled Georgia Amore.
Yes. Yes.
And Georgia's amazing. Like, she is just like so outgoing. She's, like, I saw her Saturday. I did some interviews with the draftees, and she was just like, ask me any questions when you see me on the carpet. Like, I will answer anything.
She's so funny. She was like talking about her quads, like what got her here. She was like, my quads.
Yeah. So like the Russell Westbrook thing was really cool. And I mean, I always love seeing like, players from different sports coming to support. So that was really a really cool moment.
Yeah, we also did see Ashlyn Harris, who like,
oh yeah,
it was so odd. Caroline kept getting this thing kept happening to her last night where like people would recognize her, I guess, for
definitely not recognize.
They thought
me.
They knew her, so they'd be like, "Hey, how are you?"
And maybe that we just with her. Maybe we just like held eye contact you know for a little too long.
It's what? Because you look like Allison Stoner.
Totally.
Oh, I can see it. I can
you can see
that.
It, right?
Wow.
She says crazy. This every
they're
time.
Like, what the hell is Allison Stoner of Camp Rock doing?
Right. They're like, oh my God, Camp Rock. And then they like the Camp Rock. That
dance
thing.
Break.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, we held eye contact, me and my good friend, Ashlyn Harris. And she was like, hey. And I was like, hey.
It was
and
so
then she kept
odd.
Walking.
Like,
and I was like,
a little bit.
So. I know. I was like, ah, maybe that's why. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So maybe I was a little bit of a jump scare, actually. But okay, you also went to Paige's after draft party.
Right.
What was that like? Were there even more fits there to be seen?
Honestly, a lot of just like, you could tell people just getting comfortable. Like a lot of the hats, like hats are everywhere, like the draft hats. But yeah, no, it was just, I mean, Nike always shows out for their athletes. Like I'm a big fan of Nike. So they had like her slogan and they had like her player exclusive shoe. They had like photo moments. So it was a really big like, just like celebration full of like people that just love Paige and women's basketball in the room. And it was really fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm like so excited for her and like this next step in her journey. I feel like
generation.
So exciting. Yes. And like Gino getting emotional when she was up there. I was just like, don't do that to
God.
Me.
It was shocking how like tears came out of my eyes several times for like so many players, their parents.
I mean,
there.
Like the grandmas are crying, the dads are crying. I'm just like,
the
oh.
The dads get me. Yeah. Like when I see a dad crying, I'm like, oh my God.
No, literally. I see anyone crying and I'm just like, oh, here they go. Can't even help them. Yeah. So it was just so much fun. Were there any surprises for you?
I wouldn't say like surprises, but like it was more like, where I was like, oh, I actually didn't predict that, but it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Like, Anissa Morrow going to Connecticut, I think that's a great fit, especially because they're definitely in a rebuilding year. So I think that she will really shine through there. And then I like Haley Van Lith, even though she went 11th, like she's going to the Sky. She gets to play with Angel again. And, you know, Angel's the one that said it. It's not about like when you go, it's where you go.
Totally.
So I think that was like one that I was just like, oh, okay. Like this is good. It works out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm excited to see those two team up. I think it will be like a total force. Also, she looked incredible last night.
She was wearing vintage Coach. Like it was completely like customized from like old Coach vintage scraps.
I have to say, shout out to Coach lately.
I've always been a Coach girl.
They're on the curly. I know. I'm like kicking myself for not keeping. Like I had a little black wristlet for my youth, and I'm like, why didn't I keep that? Their designs have been off.
Here's the thing. This is what makes me a hoarder at heart because I know everything comes back around. So I'm like, I can't throw it away.
Yeah,
and
I'm
then
entering that right
it's
now.
Bad.
I'm realizing
it's not good. Yeah. It creates a true hoarder in you. Okay, last one for you.
Okay.
What did you think about the shout out that Paige gave to her teammates? And she was like, you should draft them. And then they ended up getting drafted.
Yes. Yeah. So fun fact, that was actually my second year in a row covering someone getting drafted out of the audience. I was the one that got the video of Kate Martin last year.
Amazing.
She was sitting behind me. And so this year my little spidey senses were tingling and I'm like, I feel it. And I can tell, like it's the camera crews around, like it's kind of like side eye. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, like something's happening.
Yeah.
And so to see Caitlin Chen get drafted out of the crowd to go to the same team that Kate Martin's now playing on was really cool. I'm a big supporter of the Ivy League. Like they have great talent. Caitlin Chen came from Princeton before UConn. And so excited for her, but then a bigger surprise right after too. And like just seeing like the UConn seniors have that storybook ending to like not only the championship, but then they all got drafted. Like it was really cool.
Yeah,
incredible. You put it perfectly. It really was like that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, last question. Like I know with the NFL draft, the player gets a call, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how they know ahead of the announcement that they're getting drafted. Does anything like that happen with the players?
See, I feel like there with like the whole Kate Martin thing, she really had no idea until like someone from the WNBA is like, you need to move from your middle seat to your aisle seat.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Right now. And so like the next few picks, she's like, am I gonna get picked? But
I think I'd pee my pants.
But the people that get invited, like the WNBA invites like I think 15 players and they have a good
idea
sense of when they're getting drafted. And I think they get a tip ahead of time because I was sitting behind Jalen Suggs, and right before Haley, like as soon as Kathy like walked up to the podium for that pick, they started recording. So I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, they had to have known.
Yeah. So, okay. That's very interesting to me because I'm always like, how do they know? Do they know? Is it a total surprise?
Yeah. I need to look into it more because I'm like,
yeah, we need some like investigative reporting.
I know. Definitely. I like that you said you referred to your spidey senses. I do want to talk about the CBA, which is like basically going to be renegotiated later this year. And so some players like Angel Reese in the offseason have been like, you know, we're willing to strike if we have to. We might sit on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. So what do you see on the horizon for pay and just like overall compensation for players?
Especially coming off of Paige's three-year contract with Unrivaled.
Yeah, I mean, even the players that played in Unrivaled, like Unrivaled just did everything right between the player contracts, but also off the court. They all got like equity or ownership in the league and even just the resources in general. Like, you'd be surprised. Some of these teams in the WNBA still don't have practice facilities that are, like, up to what they should be. And I just think that they're really turning the corner where these WNBA players can be like, no, like, there's a demand for more. Like, we're getting, like, paid more other places. Like, we're generating way more revenue than we've ever have. And, I mean, it's sad because I wish the players in the past would also get the same, like, you know, like treatment that, and get paid what they're worth. But I mean, the future is looking bright. It's just, I feel like there's still going to be a lot of negotiations. It's going to get uglier before it gets better. I feel So I feel like the players are very, like, they're holding their ground. And I think that's really good for them. And they deserve to be paid what they're worth and then some.
Totally.
So, but yeah, I think it's going to be just a lot of like high top level negotiations before the CBA gets figured out.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like the women's national soccer team when they had to kind of really vie for all of the equal pay and just like the correct compensation. So it's kind of like a tale that we've seen time and time again.
A tale as old as time as you.
I literally stopped myself from saying
she has been like saying that constantly.
I don't know why. I don't know. Yeah, it is a tick.
I have like, I've been saying, I said side eye twice already. This is the third time. So I mean, like,
okay,
good. No, all good. I do the same thing.
Don't worry. Tale as old as time. but yeah, so I think we're just going to continue to see women's leagues advocate for themselves, which is great. Like, that's what we want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. On a closing note, I know you've been to the draft for the last 2 years, three including this one, and you've just kind of been a fan, an observer of the league for a while. What have you seen in terms of growth from the league, and where do you kind of see it going this next season and beyond?
The growth has been crazy. I mean, like, the fan base has always, you know, been there, just untapped. I mean, I see footage from, you know, players way ahead of any of our time, like, back when the league started, like, filling their arenas, and then it dropped off. And I think that's because lack of platform and storytelling. Like, even when I was growing up, I would have loved to watch the WNBA more, but I ultimately got into the NBA because that's what was on TV. And then when I got social media, that's what was on there. So I just think, like, putting investment and, like, giving this league a chance is, like, what's so important, because you can't like write something off before you even try it. Like,
100%.
You actually have to invest in it and
give it a fair shot.
Resources, the money, like the platform. So I think now that the WNBA is getting those things, like, the sky's the limit. Like, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Before we wrap, because we usually ask this with every guest, and I forgot that we didn't ask you, is like, what was your relationship to sports growing up?
Oh, I grew up an athlete, but then I've also always been obsessed with, like, journalism, social media. And so I think, like, my love for the two has combined, but definitely grew up in a huge sports family. Like, my dad is the one that got me into sports in the first place. He's a huge Knicks fan. And but, yeah, growing up playing sports, and then my brothers played sports.
Are you from the area?
I'm from New York originally, and then moved to Wichita, Kansas when I was a baby.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, New York roots, but then grew up in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So,
I love that.
I feel like sports is just at the end of the day what like ties so many people from so many different backgrounds together. Yeah. And that's like why I'm obsessed with it. but yeah, it's the greatest melting pot of all time.
Definitely.
So true.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. That was a great little inside look at the WNBA draft.
Our listeners are so lucky. We're so lucky to hear what last night was like for you.
Yeah, and a little bit of like the after party behind the scenes. So thank you so much. Where can people follow you so that they can absorb all the content from the WNBA draft?
So just my name, Aaliyah Funchal.
Can you spell it?
Yes. So it's A-L-I-Y-A-H, and then my last name's Fun, and then S-C-H-E-L-L-E.
Perfect. Okay. There you go. All righty. Well, I think we're wrapping then.
That wraps it.
Thanks for listening to Well Played,
the only podcast in League of Its Own.